Meir Shiloach was one of the great Hasidic masters. And this is how you taste Shabbos. You have to learn Hasidus. I told all the juniors in Armenian this morning. You want to taste Shabbos, you have to have chicken soup or some other delicacy a little bit before Shabbos. Because whenever I call my grandfather before Shabbos, the first thing he says is a good Polish Jew. A guten Erev Shabbos. Right? You're supposed to greet someone on Friday, not have a good day. You say, a good Erev Shabbos, a good Erev Shabbos. How is your Erev Shabbos doing? Right? How is your soul doing on Erev Shabbos? So, the Ishbitzer, Rav Mordechai Yosef Leiner of Ishbitz, who wrote a very holy sefer called the Meir Shiloach. You have the piece here in front of you. He was known for having certain perspectives which weren't necessarily mainstream. But he provides an insight which I think has so much to teach us about our lives as Jews in this world. And he talks specifically about Akedat Yitzchak. So many of us have probably in our learning over the years thought about Akedat Yitzchak in different ways. What was the Nisayon of Abraham? What was Hashem really testing him with? He takes somewhat of a shift, I think, in all of our thinking about what it was about. And he says like this. I'm starting in the arrow where it says, Va'elokim Nisat Abraham. So, and God, right, challenged, tested Abraham. So he said the following. Inyan Nisayon Shel Ha'akedah, the idea of the challenge of the Akedah, Haya gadol ha'emunah she'haya l'Avraham Avinu v'Hashem Yitbarach, was testing the level of faithfulness, of loyalty, of Abraham in God. Why? Why was it testing his emunah? He says, ki af she'amar lo ko yihye zaracha, God promised Abraham that he was going to give him children, that Abraham would have a child and he would have a future, and his future would be the future of the Jewish people. And he promised them this. Ko yezarcha, so will be your descendants. V'nemar lo et briti akim et Yitzchak, and I will uphold my covenant with Yitzchak. So Abraham was standing in his point in life before the Akedah, where Hashem is telling him, it's going to happen. You're going to have a child, you're going to have a future. V'achshav, just a few moments later, Hashem says to Abraham, take your son, kach lecha, et bincha, et yechincha, asher ahavta, your son, the only one, the one you love, speaking about Yitzhak, and then the end of the pasuk, v'ha'aleu sham le'ola, which is kind of vague. Take him up for an ola, le'ola, as an ola, to bring a korban, to bring him as a korban, it's not entirely clear. In other words, God never commanded Abraham to kill his son. It was never clear instruction. Look how he says it. I'm in the sixth line. V'achshav k'sher emar lo alei lola al kol ze ha'emin bidvarim harishonim kimo mikord v'lo naflu etzlo. Anybody's ever said anything to you that totally contradicted what they said yesterday? This is what they do in the presidential debates. They always say, well, in 2008, you didn't have a future. And then on the other hand, he says,
go kill your son.
He doesn't say, go kill your son. He says, Haleu Sham Le'ola, which Avram interprets to mean, he has to go kill his son. The ability for a person to have emunah, conviction of faith, 100% in both sides, in both policies. He says, Ein Zeh, what's his words? Zota emunah ein b'seichel adam asig. We can't appreciate the level of emunah that this means. But for a person to be able to have emunah 100% on two totally contradictory
statements. There's a problem there, though, because when God said, Abraham, you're going to have a kid, he didn't fully have emunah. He laughed. He didn't take God seriously when he said that.
But he believed it. Abraham believed it.
That was Sarah that laughed.
Sarah, they both laughed. They both laughed. But Sarah is the one who got reprimanded. And Abraham didn't. Because Sarah's a woman. And Abraham didn't. Abraham's laugh was a laugh of happiness. Sarah's laugh is explained by many of the Rishonim. It was more mocking. It was more mockery kind of laugh. So, it's a good question. So listen how he says what the Nisayon of Abraham is. in the eighth line. Be'emet lo haya la'avram dibor mefarash v'Hashem yibarach she'yishchor b'no. He says that Hashem never gave Avram explicit instructions to slaughter his son. All he said was ha'aleu sham le'olah, which is ambiguous, which is vague. Wasn't 100% clear that that was God's intention. Al kain lo ne'emar v'Hashem nisa rak v'Elokim nisa. Notice how God addresses Avram in this challenge, not with the shame Havaya Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is always in Tanakh Midat HaRachamim, which is always the easier path to God, which is always the softer, more merciful name of God. Elohim is challenging. It's more difficult to find God, to understand God, to appreciate God. Elohim nisa et Avraham. Hayim shaya elav dibur. Which means that the Nisayon of Abraham and Akedat Yitzhak worked like this. Hashem says to Abraham, hear my instructions. Take your son, go up to the mountain, ha'aleu sham le'olah. The rest is up to you to interpret. Abraham, how you take my words and how you decide what to do with them, that's your test. That is Abraham's test.
So did Abraham ultimately fail?
But look at this. Alzeh lo nikra nisayon al shem Yitzchak, because Yitzchak was never given the command. The command went to Abraham. Ki Yitzchak ha'emin l'Abraham ki me'ashem hu. Ve'enu nisayon kol kach rak l'Abraham. The test was really on Abraham. Haya nisayon. Lufi shelo haya etzlo, dibor mefarash. Because Abraham was basically being asked to do something which was going to...
So did he ultimately fail the test?
He ultimately passed the test.
But he didn't interpret the words of Hashem.
We're going to explain it in a second. What did Abraham decide to do?
He decided to
interpret the words, Aleh Hashem Lelah, to go and slaughter his son Yitzhak. That's what he defined it. V'im haya lo, four lines from the bottom. Here's the key words. V'im haya lo shum nigi'ah ke'av lebein. If he would have been a loving father to a son. A nigi'ah means you ask what's in it for me. And you put your personal needs before anything else. Then Abraham's going to listen to those words of God and he's going to say, Haya machricho l'rachem alav. He would be merciful on his son. And he wouldn't go to try to kill him. Ki be'emet me'et Hashem haya shelo yishchatu. Because in truth, God didn't want Abraham to kill his son. V'anisayon haya rak l'mar'eh enei Abraham. Abraham was on a lower level of prophecy than Moshe, like all other prophets. So the level of prophecy that he had hid from him the true desire of Hashem's words.
What was God
words.
Trying to achieve with that prophecy? What was God saying? Just put him up, tie him up, and then don't do anything? What was God trying to
So
achieve?
That's what I think the message of the Ishbitzer is. I'll explain it to you with the mashal. Can you imagine a guy, he's interested in engineering. He wants to work for spaceships and special projects. He gets into the top program in the country. He goes off to college. He's in an 8-year program full-time. He's learning aerospace, mechanical engineering. He becomes...
Sounds like someone from your physics class.
He becomes probably one of those guys. He's one of the top engineers in the country. At the end of college, he applies for a job. He gets a job with NASA. And he's developed spaceships. And he works 10, 15 years in the company. And by the end of the time, he's up in the ranks. He's a very important personality working on very special projects. And he gets a tap on the shoulder after 15 years working for the company. And they say to him, we want you to join a special mission. You're going to be the best people. And that's it. You're not allowed to tell anyone what you're doing. It's top secret. This is a special project for the defense of the United States of America. He gets to work. And he's working out for a year. And he makes a celebration. Nobody knows what it's for, but... And he comes into him, he's marveling at this incredible aircraft that he created, all with his own hands, sitting at his desk. He gets a call. It's the President of the United States. And he says, we had spies in the country. They found out about the project. We have to destroy the whole thing. You got to come in. You have 24 hours. You have to hit the restart button. So the guy's like broken. His whole life, 30 years, the guy's been working towards this point in his life, and now he tells him, you've got to destroy the whole project. So he goes home, he's upset, he's depressed. what do I have to do? The president said it's a threat to the country, safety of the country. Comes in the next day, and he's, you know, heavy heart, very upset about what he has to do. He comes in, he sits down, and he's ready to hit that button, you know, the destruction button. He's about to do it, and he gets a phone call. The president says, don't do it! Don't hit the button! Don't destroy it! Leave everything! Make sure, don't touch anything! The guy said, you just, what's the game? Right? What's going on? He said it was all a test. What's Abraham? What was the test of Abraham? I think the point that he's making, this isn't just about how you can interpret word of Hashem. It's something much deeper. And I think the message is, wake every single day of our lives. So if a person wakes up in the morning and they go through their life, and they live in that plane, which is obviously a very difficult thing to do, but if we think about it more and more, we taste Shabbos a little bit more in our lives. Yeah, right. Shabbos is just a few minutes away. If we live in that plane of thinking, we become people that hear exactly what Hashem wants us to do. So, what was the test of Avram? The test of Avram, and he says it here: the nigi'ah. What do you put before Ratzon Hashem? Avraham said, "Ratzon Hashem is that I have to do this." The test of Avram was not, are you willing to sacrifice your son? Avram was willing to do that. We would be willing to do that. If God came to us and said, I want you to go do that, we would do it. It's not such a big deal. It sounds like a big deal, but it's not such a big deal. If God came to you and you knew it was God speaking to you and he said, this is what I want you to do, and you really believed, you would do it. It would be crazy. It would be insane. You might be close to jumping off a bridge, but you would do it. So what was the real nisayon? The real nisayon was Ratzon Hashem. What comes first? What are your priorities? Avraham put God before everything else. Because he trusted in Hashem that he had a plan for his life. And look at that emunah. Look how it spread into the world. Reb Chaim Volozhin writes in his commentary on Pirkei Avot. He says, we shouldn't just look at the Avot. Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, all these great people, holy people. Don't just look at them as people of the past. People with their lessons to be learned, but it's more than that. They're part of us. What they lived for, what they stood for, the emunah that they brought to the world, that's part of us. It's part of who we are inside. So the idea of the Ishbitzer, I think, is so relevant because I don't know that many people, myself included, that wake up in the morning and actually ask themselves,
of course you do.
What does Hashem want from me today? But isn't that what it should be? Isn't that an ideal we should live towards? Strive for? It's hard to hear. It's like, so then I have to wake up in the morning and actually like be responsible for things. And actually do things. And actually try to create something in my life. It's daunting. It means that I'm going to have to take on a responsibility.
It's almost like a lot of humility. You have to accept
of course.
That you're not the most important thing in your life. 100%.
That's nigi'ah. Nigi'ah, not shomer nigi'ah. Real nigi'ah. Nigi'ah means you're putting some of you into the picture. If the ultimate reason why you do things in life, the decisions you make, is because you really believe that that's what Hashem wants from me, you're getting to the level of Avraham Avinu. Avraham had nisyon. We all have nisyon. We all have challenges in life. That's our challenge. The challenge of Avraham is our challenge. It's not just like once upon a time someone had a challenge and nobody ever had challenges after that. We all have those challenges. Right? What do I put into every decision that I make? It's a very heavy task. It's not an easy thing. But slow steps. Slow steps. Right? All at the beginning, right? I said this morning, sorry, I mean petach ha'oha. What does it mean, petach ha'oha? No meli melech. It's not just the opening of the tent. Chassidim say, Petach O means you're at the beginning of your journey. You didn't say, I've arrived. A Jew has never arrived. A Jew is always traveling, always on a journey. So if you live a life where you're Petach O'a, you live a life where you are constantly reevaluating, constantly asking yourself, where am I going? What's the next step? What's the next thing? What's the next opportunity I have? In all aspects of my life. That's how you pass Nisyona. That's how you become Avraham Avinu. That's how you reenact Akedat Yitzchak. We all have to make sacrifice. What was the sacrifice of Akedat Yitzchak? You know what the sacrifice was? It was a sacrifice of my personal needs for Ratzon Hashem. That's what it was. It was Avraham saying, what's more important to me is what Hashem wants for my life. That was Akedat Yitzchak. Happened to be, it was Yitzchak. That was what he had to sacrifice, right? So that, I think, is for all of us a message that I hope we don't just internalize, but something that should get us thinking more. You wake up tomorrow, going into Shabbos. You know what I do every week before Shabbos?
Shower.
Other than shower.
Begins.
Shabbos begins. Nigunim, chasidus, all the good
Kabbalah
things.
Shabbos.
All the good things. You sit in shul, if you haven't done this. If you haven't done this, find yourself a good minyan with some good nigunim, with some good singing. Friday night. If you need one, come and find me. You can stay by me. Wash the nights. I'll bring you to a good minyan. A person should take an opportunity. A person should take an opportunity. At some point, Shabbos is a good time to think. Stam, Shabbos is a good time to think, good time to contemplate on life. Sit down, Kabbalah Shabbos, close your eyes for a minute. And just wonder. It's this week's Parsha, right? It's this week's Parsha. No, but I
do that too.
For you, for every person, their own way.
The best of the kids are calling it these days.
Joe, for every person, their own journey. Here's the message. The message is, and I think about this on Shabbos a lot because it's a time where everything can be pushed away. Is asking that question, not just what does Hashem want for me, but what's the next step in my life? What's the next thing for me? So we shall be zoche to take this in deep. Have a wonderful Shabbos. We'll see you all back next week.
Thank you,
Rabbi.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Rabbi. Yes.
Good one.